Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Box Trick. I am your host, Matt, known on the internet as Super Gainsbros, joined once again by Kyle, the Age of Retro. How are we doing today, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me again.
Hey, man, this is great. You know, I mean,
I don't know. What is this, 5?
This is like five. This is 5 or 6. Yeah, we just keep it rolling. I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, every time we sit down to record, I'm always like, I mean, now we're getting like an hour and a half and all this stuff. And like, there's still just more to talk about, you know, and even, you know, last time we did Switch 2, today we're going to be talking N64, which I have been clamoring to talk about. I was hoping I would have my analog N64 retro. It got delayed. So we're getting it sometime in August or like first week of September it's going to ship out. But they did 8-bit dough. I don't know how you say it. Whatever the controller company, yeah. I love this controller, the Super Nintendo themed controller. I use it on my Switch and I have some other ones. They're releasing an N64 controller for that, which is very much like the Retro Fighters one. And so it's too far for me to grab. They're making that, which is like an N64 clone controller, very much like it, where it has like a more modern analog stick up top as opposed to in the middle, which we will talk about when we talk about the N64 here. And so it's releasing this week, so we're getting it a little bit early. So super excited for that. Super excited. But yeah, I'm back in. I've been collecting like crazy.
Oh yeah, it's so much fun to collect for. I hope it arrives soon because I know you've been chomping at the bit for it.
Yeah,
so.
I have been, man. I know some people said you could buy a Mister or some of this other stuff, but it's just different. Even like I know, you know, and you're obviously more on the hardcore original side of it, which I do still have my original N64, and I've looked at like some of the HDMI mods and stuff like that, which I still could end up doing.
Yep.
My hope for the FPGA with it is that maybe we could get to the point where we could unlock some of these games' frame rates, right?
That'd be nice.
And with a little more modern hardware, because there's a lot of games, man, even like playing with emulation stuff where you can enhance them just a little bit. There's a lot of games that were just so close on the N64 to being like perfect.
Right.
And now with all these mods, you know, like this, like all of the they just came out with the Mario Kart 64. I saw the PC port of that, and I've played the Zelda PC Ship of Harkonnen, the whatever. And man, even just like being able to play those games at 60 FPS, it's like huge. Like I don't even mind like the old graphics or anything. So that's some of the stuff that excites me about it. But we got to start today a little bit with Donkey Kong.
We do.
I mean, what do you think so far?
I think it blew my expectations away. I'm not all the way through it. I'm probably on the 12th stage or the world, but man, they nailed it. And I'm so glad that they officially released. We all speculated that the Odyssey team is working on it. I think it's not just a beautiful game. It's probably the best platformer I've ever played.
Ever.
It's probably one of the best because I'm a big fan of Banjo. Maybe we talk about it later. It's not on my list. But Banjo was such a fun game. And the Collect Fest was kind of meaningless, where if you're building towards like collecting things in Donkey Kong, it's for something. Like it's only going to benefit you in the long run, which is such an improvement for most games. I mean, that's I hope other games kind of adopt that. So if you're going to go around like Batman, I don't know if you played Arkham City, that was a Collect Fest too. Mm-hmm. And it didn't really improve you that much, where in Donkey Kong, everything improves you. You can use it. It's either currency or some kind of way for you to level up your character, which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. And I haven't put a ton of time into it because the Tony Hawk remaster also came.
Oh, yeah.
Four. And so I've been playing it as well. And it's great on Switch too. I mean, it's very, very solid. I'm not a super big, like, I don't like Tony Hawk 3 and 4 as much as I like 1 and 2. So
I hesitated to get it.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's good for what it is, but I'm just like 3 and 4. For me, it was like 1, 2, Underground is my Tony Hawk. That's like the ones I want to go back to. So it's more so just that these levels, I'm just not as enthusiastic as I was like 1 and 2 and stuff like that. But I mean, as far as quality and everything goes, it's just as good as 1 and 2. But I've been playing that a little bit too, just because it's kind of fun to dive back into it. Because I really didn't play 4 that much. I beat it once and then just once Underground came out, that was it. But so Donkey Kong, I'm not nearly as far into, but just in the time I have played it, and I was playing it this morning as well. Yeah, man. I mean, the opening level I thought was pretty fun. You know, you're in like the mines and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You can really kind of like see and explore it, because there's just so many. There's so many gameplay things that you can see have been pulled from other things. You know, obviously, like, it's, I mean, really, I mean, you know, the Odyssey team created, but I see a lot of like Tears of the Kingdom, because in Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom more, you really like diving down into the caves and the depths and stuff like that. It's got that like Red Faction feel to it a little bit too, right? Where you're like blowing open walls and everything. And then once you get out of like your first little area, like the mines and everything, and you start and you get to more of the open world, and then once you get Paulina, and then once you can turn into like the Super Kong, you know, your Bonanza mode, and it's just like, oh man, now you can see the magic. The magic is here.
It is a magical game. There's a few things. I finished Death Stranding 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's a masterpiece. But the problem I had with that was I still had a lot of things to do after the fact once I beat the story. But I didn't care anymore. There was nothing to draw me back in. Yeah, I could go in and collect some more BTs because there's like a Pokemon Godzilla aspect to the game. There's some BTs I could have went back and fought, but I kind of didn't because I felt like I was driving to a purpose. I hope that's not the problem with Donkey Kong, because there's a lot of things that I'm just like, eh, I'll get back to that later. I just want to get through this mission or, you know, this level. I hope that end game is there, and where it's like Mario Odyssey, where I can go back and like kind of pick at the stars or whatever they were, the moons, whatever the hell, whatever they were in Odyssey.
Yeah, the moons, yeah.
I hope there's like that list of things that I might have missed. I know there's an index of bananas and stuff that you can go back to, but I just hope I have that drive at the end game, you know?
Yeah, I think it's gonna be there, because, and it's tough because I'm not that big of a Donkey Kong fan when it comes to just Nintendo characters. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm way more like Mario, Zelda, Pikachu, you know, Pokemon, and Star Fox. I think it was more what I lean towards. Like, I know a lot of people are so beloved Donkey Kong 64, right? Yep. And but it's just like, man, I've never really been a big Donkey Kong fan, but this game is the first one I've played where I've really been like, oh, I really want to like sink time into this, and like I really want to play it. Like I did a top 20 Super Nintendo list on my YouTube channel, and I had no Donkey Kong Country game in there. People were like, bro, whoa, that is ruthless.
That is kind of ruthless.
It's for me. I don't know.
It didn't do anything for you.
I mean, I'm not saying it's a great game, but I mean, like, compared to like Super Mario World, no. Compared to like Street Fighter 2, even like other just games on the Super Nintendo, because I think a lot of that top 20 games are games that like have totally changed gaming, and you can argue are some of the best in the franchise. Which, I mean, you could argue that for Donkey Kong, but not anymore. I think this is probably easily the best Donkey Kong game. Yeah, and man, it just has me really excited to see, wow, what this team's going to do when they get Mario back for Odyssey 2 or Galaxy 3 or whatever game it's going to be.
What do you think it's going to be?
I don't know. They might do something totally different. You know what I really want them to do is I really want them to either do a Sunshine 2 or remake Sunshine. I don't think that will happen, but because in a way, Odyssey, I think, is in a way kind of Galaxy 3. I mean, you're not running around like the tiny little planets and stuff like that, but it certainly has that kind of feel because you're on like a galactic adventure. You know, you're traveling all over.
Are you though?
Are you? You are.
I feel like you're in the same world the whole time.
Maybe you are. You were just going to different kingdoms. You go to the moon at one point, right?
Yeah, that's another world. Yeah. I was very confused about the Odyssey thing.
By the way, we loved Odyssey.
It's an amazing game.
Yeah. I think as we were saying before, I may have edited that clip because a lot of people are like, "Whoa, dude, you guys just hate Odyssey. You guys are Odyssey."
No.
We were just saying this, you know, we just didn't particularly care for some of the character models, but that doesn't mean it's not a fantastic game. One of the best games ever.
It's the tiniest critique.
I think if it had not come out the same year as Breath of the Wild, it probably would have won Game of the Year.
Right.
But I mean, it came out the same as Breath of the Wild. Now, a lot of people are talking right now. They're saying Donkey Kong might challenge. This might challenge for Game of the Year.
Until a month ago, I said Death Stranding 2 was the Game of the Year for me. But now Donkey Kong, not even on the same ballpark. Not even the same.
Well, the game that I think is going to win it, or certainly, is Clair Obscur Expedition 33.
That's true.
And I've started playing it, and I don't see it. I actually am like disappointed in that game because everyone hyped it up, and it's turn-based, and that's great, but I'm just like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not like, I'm not finding the magic in it, because a lot of people compare it to like, oh, it's like Legend of Dragoon,
right?
Like with the rhythm based kind of combat. I mean, it's there a little bit, but it's not the same thing. And that's not to say it's a bad game or anything, but it's just, I'm not immediately wowed as in like, oh my God, this is like breathtaking Game of the Year.
It's got a long way to go too. I feel like certain movies that come out when they're announced too soon or when they come out too soon, a lot of the people, when they're picking the movie for best picture, if it comes out in March, it's probably going to be a hard time for them to be, you know, movie of the year or get the Oscar. And I feel like Expedition's going to maybe have that kind of shortfall where people, it's not going to be as fresh as Donkey Kong or Death Stranding.
Right. Yeah. Or, and there's, whatever yeah, else. There's probably going to be some other big games that still come out, you know, this year that are going to challenge for it. Because who knows, Metroid Prime 4 might be.
Prime, Ghost of Yotei, or Yotei.
Yeah, Prime 4 might be pretty sweet. By the way, because a lot of people are excited for Mouse Mode for Prime 4.
Yeah.
Mario Paint
dropped.
Nice. Shadow dropped. Hey, Mario Paint and Mouse Mode.
Yeah. Pretty cool. I think that's such a good move.
Yeah, I know you're a big Mario Paint guy.
I do. I love it. I think it's a great move.
I know. I'm gonna mess around with it and play with it. And...
Unknown to me, can you play it on Switch One? If so, what do you do?
I thought actually in the Switch One, I think because they're doing a system update, which by the way, as we're recording this, apparently some people are predicting Direct is supposed to be coming like soon. So we might get one Thursday or I don't know. Because there was like a system update, which I think added like you can plug in a regular mouse to Switch One to be able to play it on Switch One. Yeah. So I don't know. I thought that was in the trailer, but I only watched it for a couple seconds and then I didn't see it fully. But yeah, I mean, it's exciting. Maybe we'll get, I mean, I would have to imagine, you know, a big part of that mouse mode is Mario Maker 3. I feel like that's got to be a.
Oh, yeah.
a big
that has to be
a big.
Is it the Kaizu community?
Yeah,
all into that.
Yeah, they're all into that. Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know, but Donkey Kong, yeah, I think you could challenge. I mean, if Astro bought one last year,
yeah,
so. You know, I mean, it's not like it's out of the realm for platformers. But I will say, compared to just a lot of like 3D platformers in the past decade or 5 years, you know, there haven't really been a ton that I felt have been big budget ones outside of like Mario Odyssey and Astro Bot. But not a lot of them have really caused me to be like, oh, I really want to dive like even this genre. Right. Like, you know, I played A Hat in Time, which was kind of fun, and Super Lucky's Tale, you know, it was okay. What's the one that's the Banjo Kazooie? Ukulele.
Oh, yeah.
The team. Yeah. The inspired one. Ukulele. Yeah. I mean, they're okay. You know, but this one's like, oh, this feels like a true return to form. And maybe Astrobot was. I didn't really play it. So,
I mean, DK's back.
One game of the year.
DK's kept his head down for a long time. He's due.
Yeah.
He's due his spotlight.
That's what I hope. I hope the Switch 2 brings back a lot of franchises that have not had like a true game. I want Punch Out. I want Dr. Mario, a true F-Zero game, you know, Star Fox, bring them back.
We need it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's dive into N64. So we've each got our three games here, and, I have props today, which I normally don't have props, but I do have props today as well. But we'll talk a little bit about the N64 launch. What was it? When did you get your N64? When did you dive into it? We'll talk about the controller. What do you think?
I didn't have one.
Oh, at all.
I didn't have one at all. My best friend Joe got one. So obviously I lived through him. And whatever he got, I played, you know, going over his house every day after school. I didn't get one until probably mid 2005, 2006.
Oh, I didn't have. Late.
Yeah, I'd borrow his system. I'd play his games. I think I beat Zelda before he did. I might have mentioned it in the past. But yeah, I didn't have one. I was there with him at the picking it up on launch day. Just checking out the box. I remember going. That's about it. I didn't actually get one.
Really?
Yeah.
I got one pretty late into its life cycle, probably like 2000. It was, I think, or maybe like 1999 is when I got one. That's actually probably when I got one. It's probably 1999.
Came out in 96, right?
Yeah, maybe it was like 19. I think it was probably 1999 because I think I had an N64. Before the Sega Dreamcast, because ultimately, my next door neighbor had one. I was a PlayStation kid growing up, and so yeah, got it late. But went over there, played Smash Brothers, played GoldenEye. You know, we crowded around a little TV. You know, playing the N64, Pokemon Stadium, some of those mini games, Mario Party, and stuff like that, and then really kind of like high school, we kind of got back into the N64 a little bit. Like we had this buddy Evan, who is like ridiculous. So it was like his mom and dad were divorced, and his dad was like a dentist, so you know, it's like but made bank, right?
Yeah. And so this kid was balling.
Oh,
balling it was on Christmas. Yeah,
lived in this like massive house actually with like his uncle. Weird, totally crazy story. And his uncle was like a shut-in, had all these health problems, lived on like the second story of this house, so we like never saw him. Like it was like anything. Anyway, so his mom was like never there, so like I mean ever. We like in all the years we'd go over there and like hang out, we're like going over there, party, all this stuff. And so we all kind of got back in N64 because there's like these big house parties he had pretty much every weekend. And so we just like, oh, sick, you got N64. So we'd like play Mario Party and Mario Tennis and like all this stuff. So kind of got back into the N64. I got the Fire Orange N64. And I got like GoldenEye and Smash Brothers. And then that was pretty much it for the games I owned for a long time. And then it wasn't until much later that I actually started like collecting for the N64. So yeah, what color N64 do you have?
I had a green one. I had the transparent green one.
Yeah.
And then I switched it for, I actually traded for the basic version.
The black one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my buddy, like I said, Joe, he we would play weekends. Obviously, 007 spent so much time in Mario 64. It was like the first time where his dad was like, all right, enough, go outside. We're like, no, 007, four, split play, you know, split screen, we're going ham. He was not about the 64 life at all.
No.
No. He's like, go play football, go to the park.
Yeah. Yeah. The only other one I really want is I do want to collect, I would love to find the Pokemon one.
That's a rare. That's a incredibly rare.
It's blue and yellow in the United States, and the Japanese version, I believe, is like orange and yellow. And I'd actually like to have both, and then do like an HDMI mod or something for it. But yeah, because it's still just, I don't know. There's something about the N64. Maybe it's because I was on the other side of the equation where I was a PlayStation kid, and then for a long time I actually looked at N64 games and always thought they were inferior to PlayStation.
In some scenarios,
but it's actually not the case as much as I've found really in the past like couple of years, like really diving into the N64's library and understanding more about it and everything. And it's kind of the only system I really want to collect for, because the library is small enough to where it's like, I feel like it's achievable for me
for a full set.
Potentially to have a full set. I actually like the cartridges, like the physical cartridges of it. And now that there's just like better modern controller for it, total game changer. For it. And man, a lot of these games, I don't know, they're still just they're great fun games. Like I still enjoy playing a lot of them today. And actually, even in the past couple of years, one of the games we'll talk about here in a minute has become like arguably one of my top like favorite games ever, and I never played it as a kid ever. Like, and it's just through like kind of collecting and stuff. So I will, with that as a little intro out of the way, I will toss it to you. Talk about your first game.
Also, one thing to note, probably the worst system to emulate.
And that is another reason why I'm really excited for the analog, because emulation on it is not particularly great.
It's never been good. I don't think it's ever going to be good. You're never going to get the same textures as the original. But my first prop, one of my first true loves, is Star Fox 64. This one came with the rumble pack. I have it complete in box. Man, what an improvement from the Super Nintendo. The choices within each pathway you could go through to complete the game, where it was like a non-linear but kind of linear pathway. I love that variation in levels, trying to do certain things to unlock the secret area. Love that. Just a game I could pick up right now and play.
Mm-hmm.
I could just easily pick it up start to end and just enjoy the hell out of it. It's a masterclass in gaming, especially in 64 era, which is very tough to kind of, because a lot of different games and game companies were experimenting with the 3D world. But man, they did such an amazing job, to the point now where I find it difficult to play a Star Fox game because that doesn't meet that expectation of Star Fox 64.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. It's one of my favorite games of all time. I almost picked it because I was like, oh man, Star Fox is 64. Yeah. And it's one of those games that immediately made use of the four player, right? And like the battle mode that you can do was such a fun addition to that game. And it's still like the best Star Fox game. I don't think anything has ever really matched it. And it's probably, it's right up there, I think, with GoldenEye and Perfect Dark. I think you could make like a strong argument. Those are probably some of the best, if not the best looking games of like that entire generation.
Yeah. X-Wing, Starfighter, it's probably on the Mount Rushmore of space shooters, but I think right at the top is Star Fox.
Yeah. Have you played the 3DS version?
I did. I have that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the first games I bought for my 3DS was the Star Fox one. I was like, it's great. It's like the Ocarina of Time and the Majora's Mask ports are pretty good. Are pretty good too.
Agree.
Of Star Fox, yeah. What do we have to do to get a new one that's not like?
They need to take out motion controls, because that's literally what made me put the controller down the first time, or on Wii U.
Yeah,
Assault.
Star Fox, God, what is it? I think it's Star Fox Zero.
Zero, whatever it is. Whatever the one that came out in the Wii U. Once you started to like motion control to, and you couldn't get out of that, that you had to use the gyro. And I'm like, I put the controller down. It was like the third level. They actually, they started to give you that old feel of Star Fox in the beginning levels. But then there was like a walker. It took me out of it completely.
And there was like the little expansion mode. What is it? With Star Fox. I forget what it is. I have it up there. But the guy who plays, he's like Zippy's grandpa, Grippy or Grumpy or whatever his name is.
He's the older one?
Yeah. Oh, God. I have to look it up. Anyway, I did a, hold on. I got to pull it up here.
Zippy's grandfather? What?
Zero, Wii U. Yeah, it was Star Fox Zero, and what was the additional part of it? It was like,
I know you're talking about.
I have it. Hold on, let me.
I thought it was Assault.
No, Star Fox Assault is for the that one's for the GameCube. What is it here? Hold on, it is. Hold on, I freaking have it. Let me log.
Doing it live.
Oh no, did I like throw it? God. Maybe I don't have it.
I see it. I can go get it. I can go get it.
You go look at it. It's not on my shelf. I thought it was. Star Fox Guard.
Oh, you
I just
cheated.
Pulled it up. Sorry. No, yeah. I made you get to the right. Yeah. Okay. So Star Fox Guard, it was like the expansion part. Yeah, it's a tower defense thing where it's Slippy's. I said Zippy. It's Slippy's uncle, who is Grippy, is the character's Grippy. Name. And anyway, I worked totally random. I worked, and I actually did it, and it's on the podcast feed. You can go check it out. I worked with the guy who did the voice acting for that. Totally random. When I moved back to Portland, I needed like a job. And so my buddy Thomas, who actually did some episodes with on this podcast back in the day, he worked at this motorcycle store, like selling motorcycles. And I was like, all right, well, that's fine. I'll take whatever I can get. Like, it's just like, right. I need like income, like immediately. And so, anyway, I worked there for like, I don't know, like 3 months. It wasn't very long. But one of the guys, his name was Randy. He was I forget his last name, but he a voice actor. And he just, you know, did work here and there and did like radio and stuff. And he was like, oh yeah, I did the voice acting for the Star Fox game. And I was like, what? And then like,
and he worked at a motorcycle place.
Well, he's kind of like, he was like older and kind of like, he was just doing it. Like he was just doing like something part-time. Cause he's
going to say, that's awesome. That sounds like such a sweet retirement gig.
Yeah. Well, the job sucked. Yeah. It was, we all hated it. Yeah. It was sucked. Yeah. It's just, he thought it would be fun. He's like, oh, I like bikes, you know, it'd be something fun to do like part-time or whatever. But yeah, anyway, so I totally interviewed him and he did the voice work for it. And he said, I remember him saying, talking about like working for Nintendo. Cause he's like, they're like so protective about it. And he's like the strictest NDAs he had to sign. He's like ever signed and stuff like that. Yeah. And so they took him up to Seattle and like totally took care of him and everything and did all the voice work and stuff there. Cool. Totally random. Like just the most random per chance thing. All right. Ended up working with that guy.
So Nintendo, I know you're listening. We want Star Fox.
We want Star Fox. We're both shareholders. Okay. I don't know. You know,
full disclosure.
Just put it on the ballot. Say, which franchise do you want? I mean, if you could bring back one Nintendo franchise that has been dormant for, let's say, at least 7 years. So before pre-Switch 1, which one would you bring back?
It's between Earthbound and Star Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to go punch out.
They just nailed Donkey Kong.
Yeah, they just nailed
Donkey Kong. Punch Out would be great.
They just brought back. You know, another.
Have you been seeing the AI videos of people remaking the characters from Punch Out?
No.
Like with the realistic graphics, it's pretty impressive.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I would love it.
It gets me excited for it. So
yeah,
Punch-Out, you know, great.
I lost a bunch of weight playing Wii Fit. I mean, Wii Fit should come back, man. I need it right now.
That's
man.
The one you. That's age. What's that number two?
Ooh, yeah. Give me some. Yeah, give me the balance board. I need it. Okay. Let's see here. Okay. So yeah. So this game I did not play at all ever growing up. Never played it until I started like collecting for the N64. And it has honestly become like a top like five game for me. Like wow. When I sit down and like sometimes I'm at work, I have my laptop and I can like, you know, play little games and stuff like that when it's slow. And I'll just like fire up like N64 emulators, which this game actually runs pretty decent only on N64 emulation. But man, Wave Race 64 totally has out of nowhere, never expected it, has become just one of my favorite games of all time. And I think it's just that like 90s vibe it's got going. Bright colors, jet skis, great soundtrack. You know, like, and it looks amazing. Like, it's still the water physics and everything it controls so good. Because I remember, like, there's not really a direct comparison on PS1. I think a lot of people look at, like, Jet Moto. You know, just some of those, like, first levels. But it's like you're on hover bikes. It's, you know, it's pretty different. But, yeah, man, it just controls so well. And it's also the sequel on GameCube. I just did not get into as much.
Blue?
Yeah, Blue Storm.
Yep.
And there's another franchise. That's it.
Bring it back.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
There's three games. The first game is actually an original Game Boy game. Just called Wave
Race. So you're saying Wii Fit is over Wave Race?
Oh, well, all right, I have to put Wave Race. I have to put Wave Race above.
Damn.
Well, yeah. Well, my blood pressure the other day was super high, so maybe I don't know. You know, Wii I might Fit, need yeah. I might need Wii Fit more. Right. If I want to make it to the next Wave Race game, we might need it. But yeah, it's just so cool the vibes and everything in that game. And I've watched like people speed running it, and I'm just like, wow, the stuff they're doing is just absolutely insane, right? Yeah. In that game, just pure great total arcade racing. You can unlock a dolphin that you can ride around on, super fun. There's like a stunt mode, and I think the course selection is also like really fun. You've got a couple like sunny beaches, you've got like a glacier you can run through, like a town, there's like a, you know, city you can ride around in, and then like, you know, a lake, and then like some harbors with boxes you have to go around. And every stage, like as you're going through the levels, like the tide changes, so like lap two is different than lap one, and lap three is different and stuff like that. And so it comes in and out. And I think it's just such a cool feature that honestly, I don't even know if it's ever been matched. There really hasn't been anything like it.
Right. It's, I'm going to sound trendy. It's a vibe.
Yeah.
That game has such a nice vibe to it. It's very chill, but I think the N64 is probably king of competition or king of multiplayer out of all the generations of systems. And that was just another game where you could just get on the couch, compete with your friends, get pretty heated. It's a very chill vibe, but it's also a very competitive game. And it is beautiful. That you're right. The sound is amazing. Like such a nice soundtrack for 64. And probably one of my most nostalgic competitive games from the 64.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you know, the funny thing about it is I think the N64, like, because the library is so small, you know, there's some genres on it where it's like, where like RPGs is almost non-existent.
No.
Right. It's like, nope. I mean,
was it Quest? I mean,
in terms of like actual RPGs, it's like Paper Mario, Quest 64. And yep. I think Tactics Ogre, like, that's it. Right. And then, you know, then you get into more like, well, is Zelda an RPG, an action adventure, an RPG or whatever. But N64 racing games, by far its strongest, I think, genre, because there are just so many fantastic racers on there. I mean, Mario Kart, Diddy Kong, Wave Race, F-Zero, Star Wars, Episode One Racer, San Francisco Rush, Cruisin' USA, all of them. But I think Wave Race is the best racer on there.
I could argue Extreme G.
Yeah, it's up there too.
I love Extreme G, but Wave Race probably definitely played the most besides Mario 64. Mario Kart 64.
Yeah.
Or Diddy Kong Racing.
I think they're just in the genres. Yeah, even that Mickey Speedway is pretty good. I mean, yeah. there's so many. And obviously Star Wars Episode 1 racing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple times ago.
But Nintendo is very intentional. They went from two-player sit-down co-op, and the 64 was the first time we really saw like a dedicated four-player option, because they have it right on the front. I mean,
yeah,
it was very much an intentional system to play with multiplayer. They wanted people to play together. They wanted that couch co-op. It's probably one of the first times, I forget when it came out. It was fairly early in the system's life cycle. It was probably like the first time you just like sat down with your friends and had a really good experience with a four-player game.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Because the PlayStation had the multi-tap.
So did Nintendo. Or the NES. The NES had the four.
Yeah, but there weren't a lot of NES games that really made.
There was Friday the 13th. That's all you needed.
But I do. I will agree. I think the four ports on the front of the N64. I mean, look at what that caused Sega to do, and then Microsoft did it. You know, and then the GameCube had it as well. Sony was like, we don't need that.
No,
on the PS2.
Too
bad. I don't think I owned a PS2 multi tap. I know I owned the PS1 multi tap.
Oh, they had the angled one, right?
Yeah, the PS1 multi-tap is like an L, and then I think the PS4 multi-tap was like a triangle or something, or trapezoid or something. Like, I don't know what it was, but some kind of shape. But yeah. All right. Well, hey, I'll toss it back to you.
Ooh. All right. Possibly one of the greatest games of all time. I was going to go with something a little bit more niche, like Blast Corps, or I just had so much fun with Blast Corps. It's still one of my pick up and play kind of games.
Yeah.
NHL or Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey. I have an immense love for that game, but man, I can't think of a better use of 3D when they first released that system I just remember spending weekends trying to get stars, and there is that competitive aspect to it. You're trying to beat times. You're racing against the Penguin. You're swapping controllers with friends, beating levels. I know it's a single player game, but there's still that multiplayer aspect to it where you beat a level, you pass it to a friend, and just the level design. I can't even imagine how they wrapped their head around it back then. It definitely is probably one of the most groundbreaking games of 3D for that time frame.
Yeah, I mean, to go from World to 64, because I mean, I didn't make that jump, but I think for people who did, because as they always talk about it,
that's insane.
Had to have been insane. I mean, for me, it was more Ocarina of Time, because I did play that, you know, at like a friend's house and stuff like that, and I was like, wow, this is like insane, you know. like to make, yeah, I think so. Both of those games totally made that charge. But yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine what it would have been like being like playing that for the first time, like, you know, 1996 or whatever, being like, you know, now you have this whole castle to explore and like all of the secrets. I mean, there are still people trying to find secrets in that game today.
Yeah, didn't they find one recently?
I don't know, but I feel like they are still. I mean, there's a big one about like it was a big rumor for a long time was Luigi playable. Everyone thought you could unlock Luigi, right? Because there's something about like L is real or something. I can't remember exactly what it is, but that's something like a lot of people really were diving into. I think the final boss, you know, Bowser on top, swing him around and everything, you know, that's super iconic. And people have modded that game to be all kinds of ridiculous stuff, right? But it's one of the most iconic levels. That's what a lot of people think about when they think of Peach's Castle and everything, and that design from like Peach's Castle has always been like always harkens back
it's a staple. It's a completionist dream too, to go back 100%. And get all the stars, to do everything. It is
the memes that have been created about it, about, you know, the Penguin and kicking the Penguin off and everything.
Have you done it?
No, I will be honest. I have Mario 64 is probably the main line Mario game I have played the least amount of.
Oh.
I think so it's just
you need a remake.
Well, they did remake it.
I've played the PC version.
No, have you played the DS version?
Oh, with Yoshi? They added Yoshi, right? Well,
I think you can play as Luigi Yoshi.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Wario, Waluigi. I don't know if you can play as Waluigi or not.
I don't think so. Maybe. I saw it the other day at GameStop Complete. I almost picked it up. I don't have it. I did have it when the DS originally came out, and it was fun. I didn't play it nearly enough as the original.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I might be one of those cases where people say the original is better. The Super Mario 64 is also the Mario game I know really like the least about, to be honest. Cause it was like, for me, it was like, I kind of skipped it. Cause again, I got the N64 late. So just played like what my neighbor, we played it, buddy had. And so for me, it was more like I went from like Super Mario World to Super Mario Sunshine. Now, talk about a big.
So you still haven't beaten Mario 64?
No, never really played it.
You have to do it.
I know. I have it on. Well, I mean, I could play the Switch Online version. And then I have the Super Mario 3D All Stars.
So do you have a game in mind once that analog comes in? Like, is there a game that you want to play first?
I don't know. I'll probably
recommend 64, Mario 64.
Yeah, I don't own it. I have to buy it, so I need to get it. But the person who I showed this last time, and that's the person who I got that custom Majora's Mask off of.
Yeah,
which it is again. It's an original. It is an actual original cartridge. So it is. But they do Super Mario 64 as well. So
it's calling you.
I don't know. So I'm thinking about getting the.
How do you not own Mario 64?
I don't own a 64 cart of it, but I do own it on, you know, like Switch. I have which is also collectible, the Super Mario 3D.
Oh, the 3D All Stars. Yeah.
For Switch. Yeah, I do have it. I do have it that way. Yeah.
That doesn't count.
I know. I'll
add it to your list. Add it to your list.
I'll play it. Yeah. Maybe I don't know. I'll look up and see if the DS version is, if people think it's better or not. Obviously, the textures are slightly improved.
Yeah.
Let's just see. What's the general consensus right here? Mario 64, N64 versus DS, which is better? My guess is they'll say N64. Let me go to Reddit here. People are DS, original, 64, DS. Having 4 characters is great. Remake is done right. 8 directional inputs were hard to get used to. Oh, so you can jump. The jumping is different. Well, so then I got to play the original because it, you know, you got to play it and it's true.
That should be your first game on the analog.
Yeah. I'll have to get it. I'll have to order it. Okay. So I'm going to go next here. I know you got these out as well. But I think I said I was picking these. So I'm going to share them here. And I'm kind of cheating and doing 2 here. And by the way, shout out. We got to make a, you know, big man. WWF, I'm going WWF No Mercy, as well as NWO WCW Revenge. Apple. Right. Now, when we picked these, you know, I thought I was going to talk a little bit about Hollywood Hogan. I did not think we're going to have to. Jeez.
Man.
Sad day, man.
I know.
Sad day.
I feel like my childhood is dying.
I know. Every I know a lot of and a lot happened. Of people. A lot of people have a lot of mixed feelings about Hulk Hogan, but I can say
this. Of course.
Hulk Hogan, the character, is my favorite wrestling character ever. Bar none, no question.
You changed wrestling.
I grew up. I mean, I was watching WWF but WCW came on earlier. So it was I always watched it. It's like,
right.
Because I always watched it from like 8 to 9. And oh yeah, man. So, you know, both of these games, obviously fantastic. Use the AKI. Engine, everything. I think, you know, I still kind of consider No Mercy to be like the best wrestling
all time.
game ever. I mean, it's still, it's still, to me, the only thing, the only downside to NWO Revenge, I can actually get past the fact that there's not like true create a character, because you can kind of like edit some of the wrestlers and stuff. It's the entrance music. The lack of actual entrance music is the biggest problem in this game. But other than that, I actually kind of like it more than No Mercy, just because vibe. It's kind of got a slightly better vibe, like with the ref, you know, like the funny cartoon ref that pops up and stuff like that. But I mean, either way, both games play absolutely fantastic. Both games are absolutely great. Total, you know, nostalgia trips back down memory lane of the greatest era in wrestling, bar none. Yep.
Attitude era.
Attitude era, which either side you were on, the NWO, WCW era, or the WWF Attitude era. So good. Controls so perfect. I mean, everything, like, because I was hardcore into wrestling. Like, even stuff, like, there was stuff that didn't even get added into the SmackDown series until, like, SmackDown 2007 that you could do on No Mercy. There's still sometimes features when I see what's going on. I'm like, you could do that in No Mercy. Like, why can't you do that now? Like, it took the SmackDown series a long time to even get, like, weights right. Like, oh, if you, like, a small guy tries to pick up a big guy, and that's, like, in, back in this. It was, like, absolute perfection.
Yep. It is a, I always preferred No Mercy above all.
Yeah,
all above everything. And my buddy Mike had it, and he was all about his character creation.
Oh yeah.
And he had like a dude called Mr. Mephisto.
Yeah.
And he had his intro music, and he had his whole moveset, and we always challenged him to his belt. And man, he was good at it. But man, we had some great matches. Like, I couldn't remember a specific match that we had, but I remember like going back and forth, like we would, and then I'd have to go back to his house because I had the belt, you know. I gotta get my belt back. It's like, all right, dude, I'll come over, you know.
No Mercy definitely had the better career mode because it had like branching paths, right? And and that's one of the reasons I don't really watch wrestling. I kind of follow it a little bit on like Twitter here and there.
Yeah, same.
But I mean, I used to watch it like religiously, and but you know, even sometimes I bought like 2K16, so it's obviously been a couple of years, and I bought like 2K23 or one of those games, and I'm just not into the universe mode as much, where you have to like go in and create it yourself. Like, I liked more in the SmackDown era, like SmackDown Here Comes the Pain and stuff, where you just had kind of like a dedicated story that you could go through and like make decisions and go along the way. And that's what No Mercy's career mode is, where you can go through and kind of have like branching paths. And if you lose this match, then you go this way, or if you like say yes or no, you can go this way. And I always thought that was kind of a fun way to do it, even though it sort of like replicates like the last year or whatever's like storyline. But both games, great rosters. No Mercy, you know, you had unlockable characters. You can unlock like Shawn Michaels and Ken Shamrock, and you had that like mall you could go, SmackDown Mall you could go into and like buy all of the outfits and everything. And that was cool because there really wasn't anything like that for a long time in the SmackDown series, which is obviously the competitor on PlayStation, where you could like edit the wrestlers. And so you could change them and update them and stuff.
I always thought SmackDown was more like arcade style wrestling, right?
Yeah.
No Mercy and WCW, that was like the science of wrestling, where you could customize your moves and just really get down to wrestling versus some kind of action. It was more action based than SmackDown.
Yeah.
The other thing too is I think that WCW for the time didn't have the recognized roster that the WWF had. Like, I don't know who the hell Juventud is in WCW.
Right.
I know 90% of the roster in No Mercy, right?
Right.
Or even SmackDown. Like, they had better character development for that time frame.
Yeah, because WCW was so top heavy, right? Where it was like Hogan and Flair and you know, Macho Man and really, it's like really, I mean, if you go back and look at that era, it's like a lot of the guys that went on to become big things all left early.
And they were on Super Nintendo.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Yeah, exactly. I mean, you go back and you look at any, pretty much any of the big names in WCW, a lot of them didn't become like the guys who were sort of started there. Like, I mean, outside of Goldberg, I think that's pretty much like the only real star they had that kind of, you know, like
brand new.
Right. Brand new, because all the other guys left. I mean, and sure, some of those guys have been around for a little bit, but it's like Eddie Guerrero didn't really become a mega hit until he went to WWE, you know, WWF, WWE. Booker T, same thing. Like Chris Jericho, he didn't become a mega star until he left WCW because Hogan and Flair and all those old guys were there. Yeah. Right. So yeah. But then, so yeah, so you went from like, oh, super recognizable names in the roster. So when you look at it to like,
it's rough.
Total mid card down. I mean, who the heck are some of these guys?
Yeah. Buff Bagwell. If you followed that time frame, you know who they are. But I imagine that a lot of the common gamers back then gravitated towards No Mercy. I think it was a better game, better roster.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Stone Cold. There's so many secrets in this game too, in No Mercy. Like, oh, if you win the championship of Stone Cold, it turns into like a smoking skull belt, right? And just so cool. And like one of the best cage matches I felt for a long time, because SmackDown's was so arcadey. Like the cage match was like so arcade. You could win a cage match in like 2 seconds. Go hit the guy and just like you could literally climb up and climb down and stuff like that.
I always felt like SmackDown had like a very predictable moveset that you could do to easily win a match.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you know, you had to work for it. No Mercy. And then the momentum bar was by far in the same in WCW Revenge. The momentum bar. Way bigger, and that felt more real, because you do like sometimes you'll get hot and then they get cold and then then they get hot again.
It would turn red. It would vibrate, and then eventually it would run out if you didn't use it within time. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And submissions were way better. Submissions in the early SmackDown games were just literally. You would just throw somebody in when it's just like give up. It's like what. Like I just you just lost. Well, too bad. Whereas in like No Mercy, you had to work for it.
You did.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Makes me want to play. I want to play.
Hey. Well, there you go. There is a mod out there that exists called there's a lot of mods of No Mercy. There is a way better WCW mod called WCW Feel the Bang, I think is what it's called. And it adds in like it's like a total overhaul of No Mercy, where it adds in like entrance music and stuff, like a lot of the features that WCW NWO Revenge was missing. Nice. So yeah, if you
online played, it would be great to take that game now, give it online, add that to the 64 seriously. Library, let us play.
Yep. Yeah. All right, I'll toss it back to you, man.
Last one for me. One of the best games all time, arguably, I think everyone would agree. Mm-hmm. Ocarina of Time. I played it safe. I did want to talk about that game. I don't know if I mentioned this on a previous podcast, but I didn't own the 64. My buddy Joe did. He got it for Christmas. And if you remember, everyone chased that gold cartridge. Mm-hmm. They wanted, this is the collector's edition. So this is like the one with the shiny gold. It's got the gold cart.
Yeah. This is the.
Yep.
Yeah, because there's like four versions.
Yeah, the version A version. Yeah. I don't know, whatever it is. We had two separate save files, and I went over his house like every day. I didn't even care if he was home. I'd be like, "Hey, what's up, Joe's mom? I'm gonna play." She's like, "Yeah, whatever." And I ended up beating the game before he did, and it was just there was no epic. It's probably, I don't like that to overuse that word. Like, I think Lord of the Rings is epic. Like, that's an epic movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that Ocarina of Time is just an epic game. Like, it was nothing we had ever seen before in 3D form or in any kind of format. It was just a well-executed game, addicted to play it. And man, I think that it's obviously why it stood the test of time. No pun intended.
Metacritic, it's still the highest rated video game ever. Perfect. Yeah. 100. Yeah, I mean, for us growing up, because PlayStation, you know, my neighbor N64, the debate we always had. And it wasn't like, it wasn't even so much like, I'm PlayStation, you're N64. It was literally just because we had played both, but it was just the debate was always like, man, is Ocarina of Time the best game, or is Final Fantasy VII the best game? And I think that that says something about how high both games are viewed. Right. And like, that is kind of the standard at which, both, because they're both the same time. And that was always a thing. It's like, man, do you like Final Fantasy VII more? Or do you like Ocarina of Time more? It's like, yeah, I don't know, man. There's, both so good. Cause that was kind of what we were playing at the time. So, so there are some differences between the gold cart and the gray cart. I think the biggest difference is like Ganon's blood. Right, like in the gold cart, his blood is red. In the green cart, or in this cart, his blood is green. And I believe on the like 1A and stuff like that, I know it has something to do with something in the Shadow Temple. It's like there's like chanting, right? And it was like it was like Muslim chanting or offensive or something. And that's all that was one of the early. That's one of the changes on it. Has to do with like the background. I don't know, and I
know what you're talking about. I've never heard it.
I know. I don't think I've ever had. I think it's like the early. Yeah. Zelda Arena of Time differences. Let me see. Yeah. So some versions include it was perceived as like, or it is an Islamic prayer chant in the fire. It's the fire temple's music. Yeah. And then it has a different choir and different versions. So yeah, that is one that is. Yeah. So that's, I believe there's, yeah, like you said, I think there's four different versions of Ocarina of Time. And I think that was like the original. So like the original gold cart has that. Then the second gold cart, has the different music. So only the like original cart has like the red blood and the chanting, and stuff like that. So it's like, but people collect it hardcore. People, that's one of the things. And actually the person who makes this Ocarina of Time is the other one they did. They do. So I almost bought it, but I was at a local game store, and so I picked up just this version, which is fine. But I do want to get a gold card of that.
Essential. Two things. Nintendo can't push an update. So if there is something offensive, that's just the way it is back then. It's on the cart.
Yeah, you just have to release the cart. Sure.
We can't update it. The other thing too is that I think it's crazy that this is not my favorite Zelda game. It's not. Breath of the Wild is easily, we've talked about it.
Yeah.
It's easily my favorite game, and that gives me so much hope for future games where something like Ocarina of Time can come out and something new could come along and just blow it out of the water. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's totally fine because things have gotten better. I know some people like Majora's Mask more.
Yeah.
Than Ocarina of Time. I'm not in that camp, but I get it. I think it's kind of the same thing we talked about this when we were talking about the Switch is like, I actually feel like, if you look at like Breath of the Wild and you look at Tears of the Kingdom and you look at Ocarina of Time, and you look at Majora's Mask, like they're kind of in the same realm, right? Where it's like, all right, both Ocarina of Time and Breath of the Wild changed everything. Like big, huge, monumental changes to the Zelda formula. Obviously in Ocarina of Time, you're going from 2D to 3D. Huge, huge difference. And then like Majora's Mask and Tears of the Kingdom takes that now new established formula and is like, how do we like have more experimentation? How do we like take that engine and let you like go experiment with it? Because that's really what both games kind of are. But I definitely prefer Ocarina of Time, and we talked a little bit. I prefer Breath of the Wild over Tears of the Kingdom.
Yep, it's how many games did this inspire? It inspired there were a billion Zelda clones of Ocarina of Time. The thing I like about Breath of the Wild is that they kind of went back to the roots where it was open, just completely open. Good luck. Here are the keys. Go ahead. Go do whatever the hell you got to do. I do like that, where Zelda Ocarina of Time is a bit more structured. There's certain things you have to do to kind of follow sequence.
Yeah. Okay, so I am looking at the differences here, and wow, there's a lot. I mean, it's all small, like graphical glitches and stuff like that, but there's actually way more versions than I really kind of realized. So for NTSC, which is us, there was essentially three versions of the game. So there was the original cartridge, which is a gray cartridge. Yep. There's the gold cartridge. And then there is another gray cartridge, which is, I think, believe the one I have here. Let me see here. Does it say 1996? Oh, this could be an original.
There's only one gold.
There is only one gold. This represents, hey, look right here. So yeah, so mine is not the 4A. Yeah, mine says 00. So I think this is, so I believe this is a, this is the third version of the game or whatever. So yeah, so all of the gold cartridges essentially are, there you go. Yeah, you got the gold. I have the gold Zelda 2 on NES.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah. But
I have all the gold. I have all the gold. I have all.
There you go. Yeah. What do you have? What do you think about the 3DS version of this?
It's cool. I definitely played it. I do like. I did like the gimmick on the 3DS. I do for a bit. You know, after a couple hours, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, the bleeding. 3D was, yeah. Yeah, you have the gyro aiming and stuff like that. Yeah,
it was cool.
I'm so surprised they have not re-released like how do you not just port that 3DS version of that to Switch?
Yeah,
I wonder why. I really still wonder why they have not just done a Switch port of the 3DS version, or actually of a lot of 3DS games, to be honest. Like, why is A Link Between Worlds not ported to Switch?
How would they do the split screen?
Some of it you don't need, though. Like the split screen on the 3DS version of Ocarina of Time, it's just like a map and whatever. You don't necessarily need that.
I guess if they swap for Link Between Worlds, they'd have to swap the menu into like a button.
Yeah.
They could do it.
Yeah. Same with Wind Waker, because like Wind Waker exists on the GameCube, and then the Wii U version, it's just like extra stuff.
That's true.
It's like your map or whatever. I do love the Wind Waker Wii U port. Oh, it's so good. But yeah, I'm with you. But yeah, I mean, it just in terms of Ocarina of Time, like in terms of the game and everything, man, oh, just so magical, such a like great fun experience. You know, I mean, it was just so mind-boggling having this. Like, I felt like you had a full city to run around when you're running around Hyrule. Then you could like go explore this whole world. So many secrets. So you know, the Water Temple is obviously legendary, right? I would just sit around and play the songs. Just warp around,
just playing with your ocarina,
just playing with the ocarina. Like, all right, now I want to go here now. Nope, I want to go here now. Don't want to go here now. You have the different tunics, and like it does feel like when you get to the end of the game, you get all your hearts, and you get all your arrows, and you get your boots, and everything. You feel like so like ridiculously powerful.
And if you look at the timeline, that's when it starts to get wacky. Like it gets very crazy with Ocarina of Time. If you look at the Nintendo timeline. It gets very strange.
It's the thing that changed everything. Yeah. Because then it's like, okay, well now we have this timeline that Ocarina of Time totally resets everything. And then there's like, it sets the branching paths of like, one, if like one's like the normal playthrough, here's what happens. Yep. One, if Link lost, what, you know, like, it sends you down. Okay. Well, I will go last here. Then we have maybe a couple honorable mentions. I got to go with GoldenEye. 007. Man, this is probably the game I have the most amount of hours on N64. We would just sit around. We did every possible multiplayer thing you could possibly imagine. Rockets only, slappers only, Moonraker lasers.
No odd job.
Cheating. Yep. No odd cheating. Job. Everything. I mean, I actually replayed it. When they, because the Switch Online version is widescreen, right? And then of course there's the Xbox version where it's like a remaster of it. I still go back and play it. It's still just such a fun, amazing, unique game. I think it's the best James Bond movie as well. Still to this day,
Casino Royale is pretty damn good.
I know, and I love Skyfall, and I've seen every James Bond. I'm a James Bond diehard. I've seen every single one of them, but yeah, I still think I have GoldenEye as my number one. He goes against 006. That's the big difference.
Against Boromir.
Yep, he goes against Boromir. Ned Stark. He goes against 006. That's for me is still like the big difference. And Pierce Brosnan. I mean, I know Daniel Craig's great as James Bond, but
Handsome Devil.
Pierce Brosnan in Goldeneye. Oh, he's got that. He's just got the look, the whole deal.
He's got the vibe.
He definitely has the vibe.
I think Golden Gun was probably my favorite play mode.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a chess match for that game. It gets crazy too, but because you know, what is it, the SR-385, whatever the hell that gun is, like that crazy rapid shooting gun.
Well, there's the RCP-90.
Yeah, it's just like
You
just melt people like butter in that. With that gun.
Yeah, the RCP-90.
There's certain guns that we would restrict because it was just too.
Yeah,
it was too much.
Magnums, you can play with all of them.
Oh yeah. Oh, I miss those play modes. I feel like if you played Halo when they added SWAT as a play mode.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
It's definitely inspired by, the Golden Gun.
Yeah. I love that. And I think that's such a cool thing too, where they have like, you know, the last two little levels there, which are like throwbacks to, you know, like Jaws and stuff like that. It's like, hey, we're going to add it. Cause that, I mean, that's like, that was like one of the first times you ever saw that, like in video games where they're like, hey, we're going to add in like legacy characters, you know, it's like these unlockable, like legacy characters. That was pretty cool. You got to play through the movie. I mean, for a long time also, you know, licensed games sucked. Right. I mean, there was DuckTales and on the NES, stuff like that. So I mean, they did exist, but more often than not, they typically were not particularly great. And GoldenEye was by far the best for a long
time. I'm glad you mentioned the game itself. Like we just spent like 5 minutes talking about the multiplayer aspect of it alone.
Right.
It also has a really good campaign mode.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a good story. It's action packed.
Unbelievable soundtrack.
Yeah.
The soundtrack is so like, I mean, it's so I pop in GoldenEye like pretty regularly. And even on Switch now that you can, you know, it's added on there, and I'll just play like the first couple levels. Like damn, facility's like one of the coolest levels. You drop in the vents, the guy's right there, you just like take him out. So cool.
Yep. Definitely the best licensed movie game of all time. Hands down, there's nothing that even comes close.
Yeah. And then Perfect Dark, I was considering talking about that. I know a lot of people really like Perfect Dark. They like it more because same thing, it's kind of like the Majora's Mask, where it obviously
just got canceled.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, but yeah, you know, I mean, it was a lot of fun too, you know, because they had like rail guns and everything. I mean, that game, I don't know that any game pushes the N64 more than Perfect Dark. I mean, that's like they maxed out everything that you could possibly.
That should have been on the 64 DD.
Yeah, that you could. I mean, it required you could only do multiplayer if you didn't have the expansion cart.
That's crazy. Imagine you didn't get that. You could buy it independently back then.
Yeah. Yeah. It came. I know it came bundled with Donkey Kong 64.
Yep.
If you had the RAM expansion.
I forget. These guys had Rumble. This came with the Rumble pack.
Oh, yes.
Pack. So, it was Donkey Kong that had it.
Yeah, yeah. Donkey Kong, I know, had the RAM expansion. Yeah, but, yeah, man, I don't know. Yeah, and I've still always preferred GoldenEye as my favorite James Bond movie. Yeah, Perfect Dark. Loved it. Loved playing it, too. I didn't like the campaign nearly as much as GoldenEye. I think, just, you know, it's one of those things where it has the James Bond theme to it, music and everything, was just so cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Definitely. Ridiculous. Okay. So any last honorable mentions maybe you have in front of you here you want to throw?
Not in front of me. They're back there. But I think, like I mentioned earlier, Wayne Gretzky 3D hockey, man, did that drive a lot of fights. Just a fun, again, I could pick it up and play today. Have a blast. Run the score up on my friends.
Yeah.
Blast Core, another rare game. Just a lot of fun, puzzle like, destruction like, fantastic, lots of fun. Yoshi Story, just a charming game, great soundtrack. Yeah, I'd say those are good.
The only one I have in front of me, Smash Bros. That was definitely my other big one that I still love the original. I mean, I know I have a lot of people love Melee and stuff like that, but I don't know. I love the floaty, like just hard hitting nature of the original Captain Falcon, Falcon Punch. I would just like sit back and let them all like start. And then I would just kind of like double jump in and just right as you land, just like Falcon Punch this like huge, like them all, like all, the other three people just like fighting and just like watch them just like, you know, explode off the screen. It was so bad.
A DK guy.
Oh, DK's great in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. The original Smash Brothers cast, you know, so cool. Ness on there.
One of the biggest missed opportunities on the 64 was not bringing Earthbound 3. I cannot believe how much
time. And it was in development. So was Metroid.
6 years they spent
developing
Mother 3. It was supposed to be on the Super Nintendo. And they just took their time, obviously trying to make a great game. And then by the time they were like 70% way through, it was GameCube time. Mm-hmm. So Nintendo's like, we can't just convert this. They were going to go with DDD, the 64 DD on that because it was going to be a massive game.
Yeah.
But man, I can't even imagine if that had come out. It's another one of those things that are just lost in time.
Maybe they should have just sent it to the DS.
They could have, but the DS wasn't even out by then. They were still trying to plug the GBA, so they had Itoy kind of switch his development to the GBA to make Mother 3, which again, Nintendo, give us Mother 3.
Yeah. Yeah, I won't do it. I know so many lost franchises. Golden Sun, all these, you know, we talked about them. So Smash Brothers for me, Pokemon Stadium. I loved the mini games, and it was actually a great way to, you could plug in, if you had the Pokemon expansion thing, you could plug in like your whatever Game Boy cartridge. You could get Hitmonlee or Hitmonchan, I think was what it was, in Stadium 1. And I didn't play Stadium 2, so I don't know if you could do anything with Gold and Silver. But in Stadium 1, I think it was a way to actually get both. There was some sort of thing you could do in there and stuff like that. They had some pretty fun mini games. I remember there was one you play as like Lickitung, where he's like eating all this food. And then there was like one where these boulders come and you're playing as like Kakuna and Metapod. And you have to like harden while the rock like hits your head, you know? Yeah. So Mario Party 2 is up there for me, you know? Because I think Mario Party 2 is still the best Mario Party just because of the cowboy level. You know, we can throw a Hootenanny.
Best cover art of all time.
Mario Party 2, throwing Hootenannies. It's the only one to play that level, right? You just throw I actually played it a couple years ago with my nephew. He was like 6 at the time. Super loved the Switch, everything. He had played a lot of Mario. He played more of the newer Mario Parties. And I was like, well, are we going to play Mario Party 2? Because at that point, it had like just come out on Switch Online or whatever. And I was like, we're gonna throw a Hootenanny, and he thought it was like the funniest thing. So then like the whole rest of the day, he's like 6, you know, or whatever. So the whole rest of the day, he's just saying Hootenanny. He thought it was like the dumbest thing.
I mean, where would he have heard that word prior?
Where else would you have heard that word?
We don't have a lot of those.
Only in Mario Party. Right. And then NFL Blitz 2000.
The best version.
Yeah, so it's still a game actually I play pretty regularly, because just like with Tecmo Super Bowl, like they get updated rosters, there is a team out there doing updated rosters for NFL Blitz, and they can't do it on the Dreamcast, so they have to do it on the N64. So the N64 version of it gets like a ROM, you know, update every year, and you can go play. I mean, play as Mahomes or, you know, whoever. Who's your guys? This is the Patriots, Drew Locke, right? That's the There you go. Yeah, he plays Drew Locke. I don't even know who your guys' wide receivers are this year.
I don't know.
We have old man Aaron Rodgers, and now we have DK Metcalf. So, you know, I don't know. Steelers are, we just, it's totally, we're going to win like 8 games. We're going to win 9 games like Mike Tomlin usually does every year. So, but yeah, you can play as those rosters if you want. So pretty cool to be able to play NFL Blitz with current rosters. There's another game. Give us a new NFL Blitz. They brought NFL Blitz back on the PlayStation 3. It was kind of with that like NBA Jam, and then it didn't really go anywhere. We haven't seen anything since.
Damn. That's
give us Street.
Who's on the cover of that?
on the NFL Blitz on the PS3 version. I don't know. It might have just been like the NFL logo, to be entirely honest.
No. What's his face?
For which game?
Blitz on the
On the N64? NFL Blitz. Oh.
No, the newer one.
On PS, that was on PS3?
Yeah.
NFL Blitz PS3, I think it was, because I think it was just a download. Well, there was Blitz the League.
The League, that's what I'm thinking of.
The League is Lawrence Taylor.
LT, that's what
yeah, it was. Where they went into their non-NFL licensed thing.
Yep.
Yeah. That game is absurd. You can like take steroids on the sideline, and it's like it like send like you know hookers over to like the team the night before. It's like it's the most unhinged game. It's so ridiculous.
I didn't know you could do all that.
Oh yeah, you can shoot up steroids, and then like it's got like Mortal Kombat like scenes where you like tackle people and like break their necks, and it's like, you know, Mortal Kombat, like literally it's like
fatality.
You literally can like shoot up painkillers on the sidelines and send your players back in. It's like,
oh my god,
it's so ridiculous.
LT was the perfect cover man for that.
It is like the most ridiculous game ever. Okay. Well, hey, that is it, I think, for us today. For N64, unless you have anything else you want to add about it.
Just Mario Kart. We didn't really touch on it. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Paper Mario. That's
I play a lot of Army Men, Sarge's Heroes.
Yeah.
That was the Army Men franchise. Where's that at? We haven't seen one of those in a long time.
Yeah. GameCube. Last time, I think.
Yeah, GameCube.
And Banjo. I know I touched on it. Banjo and Banjo-Tooie.
Yeah. I played a little bit of Operation Winback, which is kind of like their Metal Gear Solid thing. It's not nearly as good as Metal Gear Solid, but it's not half bad.
Jet Force Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
Diddy Kong Racing.
Superman 64.
Ugh.
Yeah. not particularly.
Worst rental ever.
You rented it?
Oh my god. I went right back. I was like, I can't do the friggin' rings.
You just
fly. I can't fly through the rings. I can't do this. So I'm
like, Yeah. There's a ton of really good obscure racers like MRC, and there's another one called like World Rally Championship or something like that, which actually has a high res mode, and it switches to like a letterboxed thing. It's kind of interesting.
I just thought of a game I completely overlooked: Killer Instinct.
Oh yeah, Killer Instinct, Fighter's Destiny, Mortal Kombat Trilogy. Mace was on there.
Remember Mace?
Oh yeah.
I think it's another Midway game.
Yeah.
Trying to pick up off of Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Mischief Makers is one I've heard everyone always talk about because it's treasure.
What's funny about that game?
I've never played it.
The rental store next to our house was International Video, and they had a lot of imports. And we rented Yuck Yuck Troublemakers, which is Mischief Makers in the US, but we had no idea how to play the game. It was completely in Japanese. They told you to do stuff. They told you buttons to hit. I had no idea what we were doing. And we actually beat the game in like a day. It was probably way more complicated than it should have been, but it's a fun like little Mega Man clone. If you haven't checked it out, I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Oh, Mega Man 64, which is Mega Man Legend. Yeah. Fighting Force. Yeah, the library is deep for the N64. So we could always come back and do another episode if need be. But I think next time we'll probably dive into a different system. We'll do something else. So Kyle, where can people find you on the internet?
Find me on Age of Retro on TikTok and YouTube and Instagram.
All right. Well, you can find me anywhere on the internet at Super Gains Bros. But if you like this podcast, be sure to hit that like button, subscribe for more content, or give us a review on iTunes. If you have an opinion or question of your own you want to be shared on the show, be sure to leave a comment or send us an email at boxtrickgaming@gmail.com. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.